Amen. What a great God we serve. Amen. And He is worthy of our praise. And I plan on doing that from now throughout eternity. Amen. Judges chapter 4. Tonight in our Bibles. Judges chapter 4. And appreciate each one being here, and a good number out tonight, and pray that the Lord will speak to your hearts through His Word. This is, I was telling the pastor before the service, might seem like kind of an unusual type of message for a revival meeting, if that's what we want to call it, but it is the Word of God, and it's going to help us, amen. And as we go through the book of Judges, now I know that we do not have 21 nights of meeting here, so we're not going to be able to cover all the book of Judges, but we looked at introduction in the Sunday school time yesterday, and then we looked at Othniel, the first judge, yesterday morning, a lion for God, a champion, amen. And then we looked at Ehud last night. And my, what a story that is. And dealing with the flesh, and my, we need to stick the dagger in until it sticks, amen, until it gets the dirt out. And now I want to look at the next judge. There is one in between here. There's Shamgar, mentioned at the end of chapter 3. And he slew 600 Philistines with an ox goad. That's a pretty cool dude right there, amen. But we're not going to deal with him tonight. We're going to go to the next judge and in chapter 4. So we'll begin reading in chapter 4. And I invite you to stand with me, find your place. If you haven't found it by now, just stand up, act like you found it. And you know, the great thing about preaching out of one book all week long is you can just keep your bookmark in there. You don't have to find it every night. But Judges chapter 4, look at verse number 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor. You know, what's interesting about that is that Joshua had taken care of a Jabin, a king in Hazor, back in the book of Joshua. And this appears to be somewhat of a, maybe a kingly name in Hazor, but it's interesting that they're dealing with this guy again. And sometimes you get a victory, but that doesn't mean it's the end of the war. So you got to be careful, amen. Here's Jabin, king of Canaan, reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah, between Ramah and Bethel and Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Now go over to chapter 5. This is a lengthy story. I'd like to read it all, but we're not going to for sake of time. Look at chapter 5. Look at verse number 1. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel. When the people willingly offered themselves, hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, and in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. Let's pray. I want to preach on Deborah, a mother in Israel, for a little while tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this day you've given us. God, thank you for this place that we can assemble together. This place has been set aside for the purpose of what we're about to do, the preaching and the hearing of God's word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us now. We've enjoyed the singing, the worship, the reminders of what a great God you are. And Lord, now it's our turn to step up to the plate to see how we can better serve you and live for you and honor you with the position and with the influence that you give us. God, I pray tonight as we look into the life of Deborah, God, help us to glean some truth from her life tonight. And Lord, that we'd leave this place better men and women and young people, better equipped to serve you and to serve one another. And Lord, help us to see the great potential that each one of us has if we'll yield ourselves to you. And we'll thank you and praise you for it all. May Jesus Christ receive glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Deborah is a remarkable woman in the history of Israel. She is the only God-appointed female judge or national leader in biblical Jewish history. There was never another female judge. There was never a female king. I think it's important always when you look at the life of Deborah and other women leaders in the Bible, it's important to see the story in the context that it's in the age that it's in. And I don't want to dwell too much on this, but we have the New Testament to guide us as a New Testament church to see the roles and the positions that each one of us are qualified for. And there are no women pastors in the church in the Bible. Amen? And so let's just put this out of our minds right off the bat, because that's always the question you get when you look at these studies, but these individuals from the Old Testament. But Deborah was greatly used of God. She's identified in four different ways in our text and in the Bible. We read all four of them in our opening reading. It says in verse number 4 of chapter 4 that Deborah was a prophetess. And there are several prophetesses throughout Scripture. There's even prophetess mentioned in the New Testament. And as a prophetess, she would foretell things that the Lord was going to do or things that would happen in the future. And she gives several prophecies in this passage that we read of. We see in verse number 6, she says, verse number 6, she sent and called Barak the son of Abinoam out of Kedesh Naphtali and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded thee, commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. These are prophecies that she's giving. And God used her in these prophecies. You see in verse number 9 of chapter 4, it says, and she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. That's a prophecy. If you know the story, you know how this ends. It's not Deborah. She's not talking of herself here. She's talking of Jael, the one who would take out Sisera with a spike to the temple. Amen? And I was talking to, we're at a church somewhere, I think in Pennsylvania or something, and asking the young ladies who their favorite Bible character was. And one of the young gals said, Jael. Jael's my favorite. I said, I like this girl right here. Amen? And so she's giving these prophecies, and these prophecies were fulfilled in this story. She was greatly used of God. Now listen, gentlemen. That should not threaten us. I'm glad that my wife knows God. I'm glad that she walks with God. You know, there are times that God tells her things about our family and maybe things that we should be aware of that he hadn't told me yet. Now, I'll be honest with you, that used to bother me. Now I'm just thankful. Amen? Because I've seen God use her in our lives to keep us from danger. And so she was a prophetess. She heard from the Lord and she spoke God's word. She's identified also as a wife. She's a wife of a fellow named Lapidoth. And I always called him Lapdog. But I don't think that was the case, but it kind of, you know, I thought it fit. I learned a lot about Deborah today as I was studying and learned a lot about how God is using her. But she's a prophetess, she was a wife, she was a judge. She judged Israel at that time. The statement I made yesterday, I still stand by. I believe that Deborah is judging during this time because of a lack of godly male leadership in the nation at the time. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12, God says that one of the signs of judgment upon a nation is when children are oppressing them and women are ruling. Now, she's a godly woman. I'm thankful for that. Amen. If a woman's going to be in charge, I'd much rather she be godly. Not like that woman that's running for office right now. Nothing godly about her. But this, it is a sign of judgment on a nation when there are no fit men to lead the nation. I'll just be honest with you. We're running into that in churches more and more. And I'm not talking about just the charismatic churches. You know what we're seeing too often? We see, you know who the people are that are gathered for visitation? It's the women. They're the ones going out telling people about Jesus. And the men are nowhere to be found. They're the ones who are giving. They're the ones who are doing the ministry. They're the ones who are carrying the load. And listen, I thank God for the women who are part of the ministry. If the women of the churches were taken out of the churches, the ministry of the church would come to a grinding halt. It can't be done without them. But it shouldn't be just them doing it. Amen. There are too many men that are just, they're just stepping aside, and their wife is willing to take the lead, and so they just let them take the lead. That's all messed up. It's not according to the pattern that God created us for. And listen, when you get out of position, it doesn't work as well. So, Deborah, I believe, does stand as a representation of how far the culture had fallen, how far the nation had fallen, and that she had to step up. Listen, you know, there are times and there are situations in families, in homes, that the man is not going to take the spiritual leadership. That is not God's design. But I'm thankful for a mom who will say, okay, kids, let's go to church. I know dad's not going, but we're going to go. And it's a different story if dad says you can't go. Amen. I don't have time to get into all that. God will honor you as you honor your husband, ladies. But if it's just, well, I don't want to go, I don't want to be a part of it, you go. Then go. I don't want to take the lead during Bible time. I don't want to take the time to sit down and teach our children the Bible. Well, mom, you sit down and teach the children the Bible. Amen. And so, there is this that stands, and as we look at Judges as a whole, we see the decline of the nation, and this is one of the ways that we see the decline of the nation. However, that being said, Deborah was a remarkable and a godly woman whom God greatly used. And I want us to see, she's identified as a prophetess, a wife, and a judge. But when she gets to the peak of her ministry, of her life, of her accomplishments, you know what she calls herself? Not a warrior. Not even a judge. You know what she says? I arose a mother in Israel. You know what she did? She used her influence to mother a nation that was without a fit father. Because they had rejected God as their father, as their king, and no other man would stand up and take the initiative. And Deborah was willing to stand in the gap, and she arose a mother in Israel. Now, whether she was literally a mother or not, physically, she certainly became a mother to an entire nation. I want us to see tonight just how she used this, her nurturing, mothering way to influence a nation around her. And in particular, I want us to look at how she particularly influenced Barak. Okay, Barak was the general that was called. And so I just want to go through these verses. And look, I said it's going to be a little unusual, but I think it'll be helpful. It'll be helpful, number one, for the ladies that are here, the young ladies. There's some things to learn here that will help you down the road how to support the men in your life. Amen. That's important. Right. I'm not ashamed to say this. Without my wife, I'm not here. Without my wife, I'm not hitting on hardly any cylinders. It is her influence, it's her prayers, it's her faithfulness, it's her support that has been instrumental in keeping me serving the Lord and keeping me on track, doing the right thing and going the right way. Now, she's not my leader. I'm not saying she's my leader. I'm her leader. But when God created Eve, when God created woman, he said, I'm going to make a help meet for him. You know what that means? Listen, when he made all of the things in Genesis chapter 1, well, he made the trees, well, that's good. He made the water, that's good. He made the sun and the moon and the stars, well, that's good, that's good, that's good, that's good, that's good. Everything's good, everything's good. He made man, and he saw that man was alone. He said, that's not good. Is that right? That's what happened, right? He said, no, he's missing something. And so God created woman to be his help that's meet for him. That is, he designed her specifically to help him. Amen. Listen, ladies, it's not, you're not competing with your husband. It's not women against men. No, it's completing. Amen. It's God taking two different types of people and putting them together to make something wonderful, beautiful, stronger, more productive. And though in our story here tonight, Deborah and Barak, they are not married. It's almost more of a mother-son relationship that we see here. I don't know how old Deborah was. I got a feeling she was up there. She'd been judging Israel a while. And she was well-respected. She'd been judging Israel so long, she had her own palm tree named after her. And that was her courtroom. And notice it was at her house. She worked from home. Did you see that? Where she dwelt. She just dwelt there. She had this palm tree in her front yard or wherever, and the people would come to her for judgment. She was well respected. I don't think she was 25. Right? But you see the influence that she has in Barak's life. He has great respect for her. You see this throughout the story. He leans upon her wisdom and upon her support. And it's Deborah's support that gives Barak the strength to do the will of God. Come on, guys. I know we're all tough guys here tonight. We're all tough. We don't need nobody. Yeah, until it's supper time. Then we need somebody. Till we can't find something. Even though it's right there. We need one another. Ladies, you need him too. Amen. And so I just want to look at a few things here tonight. And I pray to be a help and a blessing to you. Listen, write these things down. Because there's a great deal of wisdom right here that we can glean from Deborah. And she sees, listen, she might be, you know, you read this story and you think, well, Deborah is the star of the show. But you know what she's using her influence to do? She's using that to support Barak. She doesn't look at herself as the star of the show and the hero of the story. She just looks at it like, God raised me up to have a mothering influence upon Barak and upon the nation at a time of need. Look what she does here. Look at our text in chapter 4. Look at verse number 6. And she sent and called Barak the son of Abinoam out of Kedesh Naphtali and said unto him. Now notice what she says and notice how she says it. Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun? Do you see what she's saying here? And notice how she's saying it. She is giving him God's command. She's given him instructions how many soldiers to have with him and where to take them. But she frames it all in a question. Did you notice that? I noticed that. You know what? She didn't call Barak and say, come here, boy. I got something to tell you. You ever notice all these women preachers, they all try to sound like men? What'd I do, hit a stump there? What's going on? They all get bossy. They all chop their hair off. Well, amen, preacher, you're preaching well. You're running well. Keep going. Am I not right? Deborah's not like that. She has a word from the Lord, and she knows she needs to give it to Barak, but she's not commanding, she's counseling. Listen, ladies, if you want him to listen, don't boss him. I'm trying to help you here tonight, amen? She counsels instead of commanding. You know, there's a way to instruct without being bossy. She was in a position to command as the judge. She was the judge. Right? We have no reason to believe that God did not put her in this position. Is that right? So she has the authority here to just boss Barak around, but she doesn't. She was probably older than him. She certainly was wiser than him and may have been braver than him. And yet, when she's giving the instructions from the Lord, she frames it in a way so it's not abrasive or it's not talking down to him. It's saying, hey, hasn't the Lord commanded this? And Barak's like, oh, yeah, I think he has. Great idea, Barak. You know, ladies, he'll respond much better to counsel than you barking orders. Amen. Say, man, where are all the men at? Well, a lot of them are just trying to get out of the way. I'm not making excuses for them. But I'm just saying, a lot of them are just, they're just tired of the constant harping and nagging. Now I'm making everybody mad. The men are mad at me. The women are mad at me. Everybody's mad at me.
What's wrong with you? You can't fix this? You ever going to get that fixed? You ever going to do this? You ever going to do anything with your life?
Oh, that's really going to encourage him. That's going to just bring out the greatness right out of him. Oh, man. I may have to call my security in. She counsels instead of commanding. Just trying to give us some practical advice here tonight. Barak's a guy. Listen, he's the guy. He's the guy that God's going to use to deliver the nation on the battlefield. Is that right? If you want him out there fighting, you best support him instead of trying to tear him down. She counsels instead of commands. Look at this next thing here. And this, boy, this is so important. Notice that when she talks to him in verse number 6, the first thing out of her mouth is, "Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded?" You know what she's doing? She's causing him to look to the Lord. She's encouraging him to look to God. She turned Barak's focus to the Lord. Listen, Barak needed some encouragement. Remember what they're facing. Much superior army. And so, the encouragement that he needs that he can go out and win this battle, listen, he's got to have his faith and hope in the Lord. And she turns Barak to the Lord. You know, we've heard the expression that the head of the home is the father, but the mother is the neck that turns the head. Anybody ever heard that one? Yeah, I used to scoff at that all the time. You know what? I'm not so sure there isn't but a little bit of truth in that. Talked about influence yesterday morning. Othniel, his wife influenced him. Is that right? She moved him to ask of Caleb for more land. Is that right? Influence is good if the influence is in a right direction. Ladies, you have influence. You have great influence. I think it was Napoleon said this, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." You know why? Because your influence is great in your children's life. It's also great in your husband's life. It's also great in your preacher's life. You're not without a voice. You're not without influence. We're not oppressing you. Amen. No, we need your influence. We need your strength. We need your encouragement. So I'd never say that. Well, you're dumb. Say that in Christian love. Amen. We need one another. And she understands that, listen, she's trying to turn his head in the Lord's direction. You know, listen, when we face something, we oftentimes, it's very hard for us not to look at the opposition and just get so consumed with the problem that we don't look to the solution. Our hope's in the Lord, is that right? But when the bank account's low, sometimes it's hard to keep our eyes off the bank account. When the car's broke, we just got to fix it. We got to figure it out. When we're having problems and struggles and relationship issues, we get so wrapped up with those things, we forget there's a God in heaven who is in control. And he can give deliverance, and he can give help, and he can give victory. And I thank God for a mother who kept my attention, my focus on the Lord as I grew up. I thank God for a wife who often encourages me to go to God, seek the Lord. He'll give you the answer. Look at verse 14, chapter 4. Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? No, she said, come on, you can do this. The Lord's on your side. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Barak's looking at Sisera. He's looking at the 900 iron chariots. He's looking at the multitude of soldiers against him. And he's looking at his feeble force, and he's looking at all the things he does not have. And Deborah says, no, 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 no. Look to the Lord. Amen. Ladies, sometimes we'll say, she's a real head turner. Right? A head turner. Hey, how about turning his head to the Lord? Amen. You got influence? Amen. Amen. You can impact him to look to God. Amen. In his hour of need. And so, she not only counsels him and she causes him to look to the Lord, but also look at verse number 7 again. Look what she says here in verse 7 after she raises the question. Hasn't the Lord commanded? You're going to go here and do this and with this many men. Look at verse number 7. And I will draw out unto thee, and now she's speaking on behalf of the Lord, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. Know what she's saying? She's confirming her belief in his success. Let me help you out here. If you're telling him he's going to fail all the time, guess what he's going to do all the time? He's going to fail all the time. It bothers me. I've been in conversations before, me and my wife talking with another couple, and the guy said, yeah, I was going to try to do this, something at the house or something, build this, and she looked at him and said, oh, you can't do that. Man, you may as well just put a knife in his heart. Well, you can never do that. Well, maybe he can't right now, but maybe he'll figure it out. Amen. Don't fill him with your belief that he's going to fail. Confirm your belief in him that he'll succeed. You know what she said? God's going to deliver him into thine hand. This is the guy that was sitting home and not raising an army, even though he's the general. Right? This is the guy who later on he's going to say, well, I'm not going if you're not going. Is that right? That's the same guy. He don't sound too tough to me. You know what? She saw something in him because of the Lord. She knew that he was God's choice, and she saw something in him that maybe he didn't even see. She confirmed her belief in his success. She said, the Lord's going to deliver him into thine hand. You're going to win this battle. And then the next thing here you see, look at verse number 8. Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. I'm just going to be honest with you. The first several times I read this through, maybe until this last time, I thought, man, what a coward. Just going to be honest with you, that's what I thought. You're only going to go to battle if the old female judge goes with you? That's the only way you're going to go? You know, Barak is unsure, and it seems here, and I think we've been a little harsh on him. But you do understand he was going up against this superior force. They've got 900 iron chariots. We read about that. Look at chapter 5. Look at verse number 8. During the song of Deborah and Barak, look what they sing in verse number 8. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? You know what they're saying? They did not have weaponry. Come on, guys. We're big and bad when we've got the arsenal. Right? Well, how about going up against a bunch of iron chariots? And these iron chariots, they tell me, they were enclosed on the sides. They had little rivets. I think that's what you call them, little slots where they could shoot the arrows out through. They had spikes on the wheels on the chariots. And so they would just run people over and chop them up in pieces. And you're there, and what do you got, an ox goad? Come on. We're all rough and tough sitting here with our Bibles in our laps. But what if it's us leading a bunch of men into a battle against far superior enemy and just odds that are so stacked against us? I decided, you know, I'm not going to be too harsh on Barak. But I'll tell you what else about Barak, what Barak understands. Barak understands that Deborah knows God. Barak understands that Deborah can get a hold of God. Listen, brethren, you know who I want beside me in the battle? I want that woman right there. Because she knows God. And she gets a hold of God, and she cares about me. Amen. Say, well, you're just a coward. Call me what you will, but I know a good thing when I have it. Amen. And there's a lot of preachers, I wouldn't go into battle with them at all. I don't even trust their walk with God. Not as much as I trust hers. I thank God for women who can get a hold of God. They know the Lord. Barak says, I'm not going unless you're going. Now look how she responds to this. Verse number 9. She said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera. That's hard to say five times. Shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kedesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kedesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. She didn't have to do this. Is that right? She's the judge. In this instance, he answers to her. She was not required to go into battle, but she went into battle because she knew it would be a blessing to him. She complied with his request. She's offering support by being at his side. Notice when Barak says, I'm not going unless you're going, she didn't say, okay, get out of the way, I'm leading this thing. She didn't do that. Well, stay home then, coward, I'll take care of this. She didn't do that. She said, I'll come with you. If you want me to go, I'll come with you. You know what she's doing? She's showing him, she's confirming to him, I know you're going to win this battle. I'm not worried about myself. I'm not worried about what's going to happen because I know you're going with God and we're going to win this battle. Man, what a blessing. Now, I do believe that because he would not go without her, that's when she responds by saying, "The journey thou takest shall not be for thine honor, but the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." In verse 7, he said, She said, he's going to deliver him, Sisera, into thine hand. I think he lost something there. My own personal opinion. I think Barak was going to be the one to take out Sisera. Until he said, you know, I'm not going unless you're going. And she said, okay, I'll go with you. But the Lord showed me that it's going to be a woman that delivers Israel. And so he loses that, but notice how she follows that up. She continues to honor him. In verse 14, look what it says here. And Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into Jael's hand? No, into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? No, she's saying, you know, as the leader, Barak is still the leader of this group, and so technically it'll still be him winning the battle against Sisera. It may not be his hand that takes Sisera out, but she doesn't say, you know what, you missed your opportunity, big boy. Us ladies are taking over now. You just go home. No, she still continues to support him. And she said, you're going to win this battle. God's going to deliver Sisera into your hand. She could have talked down to him. She didn't. She chose to continue to honor him. This encouraged him to greatness. Is anybody listening? She encouraged him to greatness. What we have to remember, I don't know if I've ever done this. Took a night of a revival meeting, just preached to the ladies. I don't know if I've ever done this before or not, but it's okay. It's the book. What we have to remember is God used Eve to make Adam what he should be. And that was the pattern all through history. We need that helpmeet. Ladies, we need your strength. We need your support. We need your encouragement. Look, can I just be honest with you? If I go home tonight, and on the way out the door, every one of you guys say, well, that's the lousiest message I ever heard. That kind of hurt a little bit. If I got back to the bus and my wife said, my, that was really good. All right. Okay then. All those boneheads don't know what they're talking about. You know why? Because she's my encourager. Now, if y'all could all tell me, man, what a great job you did tonight. That was the best message I ever heard on Deborah. And I get back to the bus and she said, hon, yeah. I would just go, say, well, you're weak. No, no. I understand why God gave her to me. Amen. I understand that. And listen, you young ladies getting ready to get married, you young men, if somehow someone agrees to marry you, I want you to think about this. I want you to remember this. Because this is going to be very important. Young men, it's going to be very important for you to understand that God is going to bring someone in your life to help you to be a better man. We tend to look at ourselves as finished products way too early. I know I'm still not a finished product. Not even the aged people among us are finished products. Amen. I'm picking on Pastor Lee. Hey, we're not finished products. We need their support. And ladies, listen. If you're married here, I'm just trying to help you. You can have a great influence upon your husband. You want to be a great man? That's in your hands. A wise woman buildeth up her house. Amen. She builds it. The foolish woman tears it down. Tears it. You want to tear down your home? Tear down your husband. No doubt there's probably folks in this room tonight, and they have gone through this, and they would be the first to say, preacher, you need to preach this. Because I don't want to see other people going through this. Amen. I don't know your stories. I'm not picking on anybody. Amen. But I am saying, listen, I'm saying God puts these things in our Bible for us to learn from. And Deborah could have, listen, she was the judge at this time. She was in a position just to take over and just to, you know, think, well, I don't need Barak. I can do this without him. She would have been wrong. She could not do what Barak did. But Barak could not do what he did without Deborah. That's a simple message here tonight. Maybe you've got some thoughts in your mind. You married ones here tonight. You're thinking, you know, maybe I'd be better off without him, without her. That devil is lying to you. Do not be a fool. So, well, she's not all like Deborah. Well, you're probably not all that much either. You're going to build it up, you're going to tear it down. Your words are powerful. It's amazing that the God who has all power in heaven and earth would say that the most powerful thing are words. It's amazing he created all this stuff with words. The world, everything you see, he didn't build it with his hands. He built it with his words. Death and life and the power of that tongue. Death and life. You want a lively marriage? You want a living marriage? You want a living home? Use that tongue for life. You want a dead marriage, you want a dead home, you want a dead church, you want a dead life, use that tongue for death. I'm thankful for the examples that we find in Scripture. Deborah, she was an encourager. And old Barak, I mean, I didn't really see. All that she saw in him, I don't see it. But you know who saw it? Besides Deborah? The Lord. You turn to Hebrews chapter 11, you know who you're going to find there? In the hall of faith, I mean the heroes. Barak. Barak's there. How'd he get there? He would have never got it sitting at home. But he had someone who cared enough about him, that wanted to mother him a little bit and say, hey, didn't God say... Didn't God say for you to get an army together? Hath the Lord said that? Inspired greatness in him. You know what he probably thought? Man, she really thinks I can do this. You know what we like as men? We like a challenge. We like a challenge. Well, you really think I can do this? Or somebody say, you can't do it. Oh, come on! Bring it. Let's do it. Those guys, if a guy says you can't do it, that's what it brings. It brings out a challenge. But if your mom or your wife says it, well, it don't bring out a challenge at all. It's like cutting you down like a tree. How are you using your tongue? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. A little different than what we're used to, but it is truth and it is helpful if we'll take it to heart. God, help us men not to be so proud that we won't listen. Understand that you're going to give insight to our moms, to our wives, to our sisters in Christ. There may be something we need to hear. And so God, help us to be humble, to listen, to understand that you placed us in this family. You've given us a calling, but we will never achieve that calling on our own. We need you and we need one another. God, help us to be humble. And Father, I pray for these ladies that are here tonight. God, I pray that they don't feel like they're marginalized, that they don't have an impact or influence. Help them to see their influence is great, that they'd use it to inspire greatness, to turn folks to you, faith in you. God, I pray, do in us what needs to be done tonight. Help us to believe your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.